Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Tim.
I'm Nicole.
Today we're going to be talking about careers. We're going to be talking about apprenticeships, mentoring, and how to get started in business analysis and your career in general. So I'm going to start with an opening question to Michelle. So I understand that Tim works for you. He's an apprentice, but that you had to do some work to create a role for Tim. Could you talk about your thought processes behind that, just to start us off?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, we're very, very pleased actually to have Tim and another apprentice working with us at Close Brothers. One of the things that was really important to us when we wanted to launch an apprenticeship was that we really designed our apprenticeship scheme around retention rather than recruitment. So, you know, as an organisation, if we've invested in developing talent over the course of an 18-month period, it's really important to us that we wanted to keep that talent within our own organisation. And so we ensured that we created a junior business analyst role, and Tim and his colleague were appointed to the junior BA role, and they remain in that role whilst they're progressing through the apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And then on successful completion of the apprenticeship scheme, they then move to a fully fledged business analyst role. So that was the way that we wanted to make sure that there was a way for us to keep that talent within the organisation, mm-hmm, and provide a viable longer term career path that looks beyond the apprenticeship scheme.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's it's great for the individuals that are taking on the apprenticeship scheme, because they've then got a role to move into when they roll off the apprenticeship scheme. I'm aware of some employers that don't think that far ahead, Michelle, in terms of they create the role and then they leave the headcount questions and challenges till a little bit later on, and it can cause quite a lot of anxiety for the individual learners that are on the formal development program. So, Tim, how did you hear about the apprenticeship scheme, and what led you to want to apply for it then?
So I originally heard about it through a contact that I'd had. I'd been working in a previous different department of Close Brothers, and it was really just a contact that I'd made through another development program that I'd done that was just more of a short-term kind of networking and development scheme. And she sort of advised me, hey, I think you might be really good for this, you know, because I'd expressed to her the fact that I was looking for new opportunities. Kind of post-COVID was very much not certain as to what direction my kind of career path was going to go in. I never really felt like I had a kind of career path, although it's funny because in hindsight, I didn't realize how much skills I was using or philosophies I was applying to previous roles. I was just kind of doing it because I've always kind of had an eye for that. So that's part of the reason why she said, hey, you should go for this. And then put me in contact with Michelle. And then I was able to kind of apply and go through it for that. So it was a really great opportunity. It really fell on me at the right time. And I was actually speaking to a friend who said, luck is one of those things that happens when preparation meets opportunity. And it really feels like that was something that really applied to me, where I was very lucky to have the opportunity to do this role, and a lot of preparation I'd done in the past, sometimes without realizing it, kind of led me to the point where I was able to pull the trigger and go. And since joining, it's been really, really fantastic, because I just didn't really know there was so much unknown, and as time has gone on, it's only made me more confident in kind of the decision I made and the work I've been doing. So it's really fantastic to kind of be at the precipice of my career and really, really kind of looking forward to where the future goes, because I am very confident that I think it's something I'll continue to be quite good at. So it's
brilliant. Where I'm at now. Brilliant. I love the confidence, Tim, and the enthusiasm that's coming through. So I was going to go to Nicole and ask, I know that you're not necessarily classed as a business analyst, but how did you get started in your career? What led you to be in the role that you're in now?
Yeah, so I didn't go down the typical university route. I think that's why I'm quite passionate about promoting the apprenticeships within organisations. So I worked in retail to begin with, and then I took on my first office job. And it was just through moving around internally, gaining promotions, kind of jumping from role to role, and then started kind of with assist on the apprenticeship program. And there wasn't actually a role as such. It was a bit of a leap of faith, and it's gone from strength to strength. And then I identified an opportunity to do my own sort of personal development course. And I did a leadership and management course through the Open University. So quite kind of similar. It was a lot of self-study, and I was mentored by an experienced kind of mentor in the leadership and management space who helped me with my portfolio, guided me through my work, and supported me in between sessions and whatnot. So,
Wow. And it's quite a different route to apprenticeships. I started my own career as a underwriter. So I worked in insurance, and they did an 8-week program to teach you everything there was to know about underwriting an insurance contract. And what they'd failed to do, Michelle, is they failed to think about retention of the people. So they put 8 to 10 people through this program. And I think half of them left after 6 months because they'd not thought sufficiently about retention. And the other thing that was lacking on, certainly for my underwriting program, was there was a mentor, but it wasn't very structured, and I couldn't quite see the career path that was ahead of me. Michelle, how did you get started in your career, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm historically, I worked in banks back in the days when you used to sort of work up your way to serving a customer, and all of the admin was done upstairs in the bank branch. So it feels like a million years ago. But I moved into business analysis because after several years in banking, I moved into working for an outsourcing company, and they did a lot of short-term audit work for different organizations. And so you would take on board a new client, and perhaps you might only have a fortnight's work or a fortnight's sort of contract for that client. So you had to work with the client very quickly to understand their process and to roll that out to the team. So there was a lot of sort of putting processes together. And really that's sort of how I moved into business analysis. But I'm very similar to Nicole in that I didn't go to university when I left school. I did 7 years worth of studying with the Open University, and I got my degree when I was well into my 40s.
Wow.
So I think we have to stop learning.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, for any listener out there, kind of, it's never too late to stop learning, to set yourself a career goal and to decide, well, this is where I want to head to. And obviously, an apprenticeship is one type of offer, but there are other types of open learning. The Open University, certainly in the UK, is very well known and regarded. But there are lots of institutes and organisations that offer structured learning programmes. So, Tim, would you recommend a structured learning programme? And you're nearly at the end, is that right?
Yeah. I'm starting to hit the final point of kind of handing in my portfolio, and through the assist program, you enter what's called the assessment phase. So you have kind of roughly 18 months of training and learning, and during that time, you also complete a portfolio, and then you enter the assessment phase, which is where you have a professional discussion over your portfolio, and then a professional discussion over your competencies, And the formal structure of how assist specifically have done it has been so fantastic, because that has kind of been the other side of the coin with the support I've been receiving from my colleagues at work. And so to have these two things where I'm learning things and then applying them, sometimes as much as kind of the same day or the next day, it was quite scary sometimes where I'd be doing an online course from assist, and then 2 or 3 days later, the very thing that I'd just been learning about came up in my practical work. And I'm definitely someone who learns by doing. I'm not the most academic person. I'm actually the same as the other guys. So I didn't go to uni either. I've always been someone who's very much, you know, I like to see the practical application as soon as I can with something. Otherwise, the knowledge doesn't always stay in there. So it's been amazing to be able to learn these things and then go through. And on top of that, with technology as it is at the moment, there's so many different ways that you can do that learning. You know, it isn't just like you have to travel to a classroom, although I did do that a lot and it was really, really fantastic. Don't get me wrong, I really appreciate the classroom learning, but to supplement that with lots of online things that we can do, it's been really fantastic. And I mean, also regarding the BA community as well, it's funny because when I started my journey as a BA, obviously you talk to BAs and there's a real passion behind the career that doesn't always exist in a lot of other careers, especially not as kind of sincere. And it's not until you've been doing it for a little while that you realize that there is this kind of like community, both in the UK and globally. I mean, I've connected with some really interesting people just through LinkedIn, from various things that I've got involved with. And there really is this kind of desire to kind of build that community and support each other. And I mean, it was obviously part of the reason why I got involved with the VA Brew, because I was thinking to myself, yeah, I'd love to reach out to you guys and discuss, you know, my journey with you and learn more about it. And I've done similar things with other areas as well. So the to get back to your original question, the formal learning's been absolutely fantastic and completely kind of integral to my journey. And it's one last thing I'll just say on this is I remember when I first started thinking about the four stages of competency. So you've got unknown unknowns or unconscious incompetence, and then that goes right through to unconscious competence, where you're so good at something you don't even know how you do it. You know, kind of like driving a car if you've been doing it for a while. And it's been interesting to kind of relook at that hierarchy and see where I'm at in each stage. And obviously, I wouldn't say I was in unconscious competence yet. I've still got a long way to go. I still have to think a lot about what I'm doing. But it's been really great to have the theory given to me and then the practical application to be able to understand, okay, yeah, this is not only what I do, but this is why I do it. Because there's a lot of that that's covered in the theory that perhaps might not be covered in the practical application. So yeah, it's been absolutely, invaluable.
Brilliant. And some great thoughts there on the VA community. And I hope that you continue to enjoy being part of what I'd agree with you. It's a very passionate community in terms of the professionals within it really want to contribute and help each other. And there's loads of different forums and bodies that you can get involved with for that. So I was going to go to Nicole next and ask about the impact of mentors that's happened in terms of your career. Have mentors, coaches helped you relative to your career development?
I think so. I think because it's, for me, it was certainly less informal than potentially with the apprenticeship where you're assigned an experienced VA, for example. Mine were people who worked internally or within the organisation with me. I think sometimes it's nice to have someone to kind of talk to and lean on that's not a line manager and is not in that formal kind of management position, but actually also pushes you towards things that you maybe don't have the confidence to do yourself. And when I was undertaking my kind of qualification, it's someone that I could go to and ask what you thought was the silly questions, and they'd be like, come on, you know this, talk you through this, or say, help you unpack what's being asked of you and say, oh, you do this in your job, or that's you're doing it right there, even though you don't know that's what you're doing at that point. Sort of what Tim was saying, you know, you're kind of not aware necessarily that you're applying that tool or technique or you're doing that thing because you don't know the terminology for it. And then you learn about it and it's like, oh, actually, I do this in my job all the time. I just didn't know that I was doing it. So I think, I've been like pushed towards things that I perhaps wouldn't have had the confidence to do otherwise. And it's just someone who's kind of, supporting you through.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then, Michelle, have coaches had much of an impact on your own career and career development or mentors?
Yeah, definitely. In actual fact, I'm in the process of arranging some coaching for myself at the moment. So, you know, you never, as I say, you never finish learning. But also, I have a number of mentors and I have a number of sort of trusted confidants outside of my organisation and with whom I have. We call them mutual mentoring sessions because it's very much a kind of two-way street. And I find that having people that you can speak to who aren't in the same organisation or, perhaps even in the same role really helps, because you have to provide the context to them. And half the time when you're describing the context and setting the scene, that you sort of solve your own problems. So I think a little bit of distance does you good. Definitely, I'm a big fan of coaching because we're none of us the finished article, are we?
Yeah. I was thinking about the BA Manager Forum, which I know you go to, Michelle. And one of the things that I really like about that forum is the community and talking through challenges, opportunities with like-minded colleagues from different organisations. It really help you solidify your own thought processes just as you're explaining it to someone. And then that they might ask you that question or give you that one little bit of a tip or advice that can really help you solidify your understanding or move forward or build your confidence maybe. How was your own mentoring relationship, Tim, with your mentor? Because you had a formal assigned mentor throughout the apprenticeship program.
Her name's Sandra. She's been absolutely fantastic. Honestly, it's very kind of humbling, actually, having someone like that, because they really do hold you to a standard. And at the start, when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with everything you've got to learn, you can sometimes use excuses to try to, you know, slow down your learning or just maybe not do as much as you probably can. And it was really good for her, especially at the early start, to kind of like light a fire under me and say, right, okay, come on, let's keep this going, you know. And obviously, as time went on and I got more confident, I was able to hold myself to a standard that you know, she knew I was capable of. So it's been really great. And with the apprenticeship schemes, because we're all obviously spread out, it's not like I'm at school with, you know, all of the other apprentices that are doing this throughout the UK. And I don't know if Assist necessarily do them overseas, but you're obviously on your own in a little island. So having that mentor there is kind of a connection to the wider apprenticeship community and understanding, not necessarily comparing yourself to other people, because I don't always like to do that, because I feel like it's, you know, I shouldn't be trying to be the kind of the least bad, if you know what I mean. Like I want to kind of push myself to kind of go as far as I can, rather than just trying to, you know, what do I need to do to get just, you know, the you know, middle of the class, you know. So so it's not necessarily like that, but it's good to know from your mentor how you're doing in relation to what is expected of you in a larger scale, because sometimes if I didn't have access to that mentor, I would be looking at my portfolio and looking at where I am and thinking to myself, what, is this good? Is this bad? You know, and it can be a little bit demoralizing because you just don't really know. So having her there, having the support of her to kind of guide me through things, and as time has gone, she's been able to take much more of a backward step and just allow me to come to her with things I might need advice for or discuss things more generally. And then on top of that, there's also a lot of support that she offers or any of the mentors offer for more on the more personal side. So she's very interested in kind of how my personal life is going, just to ensure that things in that state are going well, so just in case it does affect my not only my apprenticeship, but also my kind of my overall general mental and physical health. So it's really nice to catch up with her once a month and go through that along with my apprenticeship journey, for sure.
Wow. It sounds like Sandra's had quite an impact, and I do know Sandra. So hi, shout out to Sandra if you're listening and thanks for doing an amazing job with Tim, obviously. So I know it sounds like a real impact with those monthly visits. I was going to go to Michelle, and I was going to ask for kind of general career tips. So advice for someone starting out in a new career in business analysis or in a different career, what sort of advice or tips would you give to someone that is starting out in their career?
I think probably one of the first things I would say is to take your time, because I think sometimes we're in a terrible rush, you know, to progress sort of quickly through roles, and you know, of course we're all trying to make a living, of course, but I think take the time to learn your trade. Because I, particularly with business analysis, it's such a broad role, and I sort of laugh with my colleagues because we draw a distinction between, you know, one business analyst can think they've had 15 years experience, but in actual fact they've had 1 year's experience 15 times. So getting that breadth of experience, I think, is really important, so that you're able to roll with the punches, and you have much more versatility. So doing things like thinking about the range of business analysis techniques that you're using, I think is a really good way of developing within your role. So if you're going from project to project and you're just churning out user stories, actually, you know, your range of sort of business analysis experience isn't really that broad. So I think there's an awful lot that we can do to learn and develop within our roles. If we just sort of push ourselves a little bit more. I think, you know, that for me would be a top tip.
Yeah. Some great tips there, because that self-awareness, to know that you're not learning by doing the same thing over and over, and to get that breadth of experience can be really useful later, because you don't need that breadth of experience to a new challenge. And then the other key tip that I think is really, really useful there, and I was really guilty of this at the start of my career, Michelle, was not taking my time. I wanted that next promotion, and I didn't feel the need to wait, and it overall it did help to some extent, but a little bit of patience can be really useful. But I'm going to go to Nicole, because Nicole, you said you slowly got promotion after promotion. What tips would you give for someone who's trying to elevate their career or to move forward in their career?
I think say yes to things, every opportunity. You have to kind of put yourself out of your comfort zone and embrace those opportunities and kind of do the things that you're scared of to learn and develop. I think if you're, Michelle said, stuck doing user stories constantly, you're not going to grow and develop. And I think my impression, the BA impression, is ever evolving, isn't it? You never know everything that there is to know. So just sign up to everything. Say yes to all the opportunities that come your way, and you'll just surprise yourself, I think.
Well. And then Tim, any tips for people's careers that you'd like to add?
I guess the only thing is it continues to surprise me how applicable BA skills are in so many different careers and also in your personal life. So I think that entering this career has been such a fantastic thing for me because of how much it's kind of grounded me and structured how I would work in any particular career. So definitely to echo everyone else's points about, yeah, being patient, say yes to everything. But also, I guess just, yeah, like go for it really, because yeah, even if your career isn't necessarily focused around being a BA, the skills that you can learn and the opportunities that you can have to train yourself in various areas is valuable for pretty much any walk of life, anything you're doing, you know? So it's really fantastic.
Brilliant. Right. Well, we're going to just check in with each of you and ask for any final thoughts. And I'm going to go to Nicole first. Any final thoughts on careers, developing your career, that you wanted to add?
That's a good question. I think decide your own path from coming from sort of school and college and things like that. You're quite often forced to follow a particular route or to go down university or do what people think is best for you. But, you know, break the mold, follow your own destiny, look at apprenticeships, look at different options. You know, there's not a one size fits all approach. So, yeah, do what's best for you.
Brilliant. And then same question to Michelle. Any final thoughts on people's careers or any final things you wanted to add?
Yeah, my advice would be to really own your career. It's, you know, it's your development and your career path is yours, and you know we use the phrase at work, you know, drive your own bus. So you know it's not your manager's job to develop your career; it's your job, and there are lots and lots of opportunities to get involved, sort of outside of your own organisation. So as Tim said, you know, the business analysis skill set translates to ordinary life in so many ways. So there are lots of opportunities to use your skills. Don't just look at structured training and development.
Brilliant. And then Tim, any final thoughts that you wanted to add?
I guess, yeah, just the final thought would be it's never too late, you know. So whatever path anyone is on in their life or in their career, it's never too late to either make a change or just make a beginning. A lot of people, especially in their younger years, you know, 19, 20, early 20s, feel like they need to make these decisions and they're going to affect their whole lives. But actually, the older you get, you realize that actually you can make a lot of new decisions, a lot of new changes, a lot of new starts. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you to each of you, Tim, Michelle and Nicole, for joining today. I want to say thank you to everyone that's watched, listened. If you like the content that you've heard or watched today, please do like and subscribe and share the content. We'd really appreciate that. If you've got any ideas for future BA Brew episodes, please email us at babrew@assistkd.com. Thank you very much.